So you would say then that your first doctor was Sylvester McCoy, but your favorite doctor is Tom Baker.
It's when I started watching Doctor Who, it was broadcasting on public access.
Because
at the time I didn't have cable.
Yeah.
So I had to work with what I had.
Okay.
And they always had this like chunk of British television playing Saturday nights from like 8 p.m. to like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And it was always, if memory serves correctly, it was like Keeping Up Appearances, Are You Being Served, Chef, then Red Dwarf, Chef. Then Doctor Who.
You got me into Chef, by the way. I love that show.
Oh,
that,
so good.
It's so good.
But if you're asking me about Doctor Who, yeah. I started watching in like the middle of the Sylvester McCoy run.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started watching Doctor Who. And I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
I found it interestingly enough to keep watching. But again, with no sort of prior knowledge of the subject, Sylvester McCoy was interesting, but it wasn't something that I wanted to find out more about.
Yeah, Tom Baker.
Then they reset, went back to the, what was it, the John Pertwee, Tom Baker era. And then when I started watching Tom Baker stuff, it was just great because I love Tom Baker's.
Were you watching like the Keys of Time shit? Were you watching like Romana?
Romana,
Sarah Jane or like?
No, it was the early stuff because again, it was just coming off John Pertwee. So
okay, so you were watching like Robot. You were watching fucking like the Suntaran.
Genesis of the Daleks.
Genesis of the Daleks, good shit, dude.
Oh my god, Genesis of the Daleks is
it's one of the best.
I mean, classic or New Who. Genesis of the Daleks still stands out as one of the best episodes ever.
Yeah.
Why? It's because the Doctor knows just how bad the Daleks are.
Yeah.
He knows what they could do to the universe, yet he's so apprehensive about, does he just basically
wipe them out, or
does he wipe them out? And he doesn't. He just genetically retards them for about, a couple of millennia?
Yeah. Which is, in Doctor Who time, it's really not that much.
No, it's not.
It's not that fucking long.
It's not.
Because they're going to, they're going to show back up.
Oh, yeah. It's
and just, at this point, it was very much like, one of the interesting things is like watching all these humans talk about, like, well, we're from Skaro. And I'm like, oh, fuck, what the fuck's going on here? Like, just watch the Genesis of the Daleks. It's like, holy fuck, we have a title here. But just to see, like, they really went in depth. And this is early Who. They really went into depth, like, here's the shit about the Daleks, which is really fucking brilliant. Like, I don't think they really did that with the Cybermen, did they? They never really explained, like, I know that there's the...
Like they didn't go as in-depth about the origins of the Cybermen as they did, say, with the Daleks.
No. By the way, there are two different kinds of Cybermen. There's the Mondo Cybermen, and then there's, the Pete's World Cybermen from the New Who stuff.
Yeah.
So... There's and
that, you always you always have to make that distinction between the two.
And the Mondis one, I believe they're vulnerable to gold, if I remember correctly. Like gold is what fucks up their shit.
I think so, just because I don't remember that weakness being in the news.
Yeah, because seriously, it's like Tennant just being like, "All right, Daleks, hey," or fucking Cybermen, "Here you go, dust." And it's like they're really just be like, "What the fuck, delete?" Like, fuck your shit.
Yeah, right.
But
But yeah, if you're asking me who my doctor is, it's got to be Tom Baker.
Yeah. So one of the interesting things before I started recording this, you were talking about fucking Matt Smith and like how he just rubbed you the wrong way.
I brought up,
was it because of Amy Pond?
It's because the entire run of Matt Smith's tenure, there was always that underlying sense that the focus was not on the doctor, but on Amy Pond.
Yes.
And I don't mean in the sense that, like, oh, why is a woman being the focus of Doctor
Who? No, that's not the problem. That's not the problem
here. The problem is that there was always that underlying sexual tension between the Doctor and Amy and Rory, even when Amy and Rory were together.
Yes, that's the weird fucking thing.
It's like, we knew, all right, so Amy What's and Rory even are weird- together. We know it's not going to happen. Why keep putting it in there?
What's even fucking weirder is, like, you know, let me just go ahead and, before I get into all this shit, you find out that Amy Pond is the mother of River Song.
Yeah, spoilers.
Spoilers. Holy shit.
We just use that unironically. That's hilarious.
Holy fuck. And so, yeah, you find out that, you know, basically his mother-in-law has the hots for him. And it's like, ew, what the fuck's going on here? And then, like...
it's a graduate situation all over again.
Yeah, right? So, like, there's all this shit in season 5 about how, like, Rory waited 2,000 years for... And I'm spoiling so much shit. Go watch it if, like, you haven't seen this yet. Why are you listening to this? But fucking... You know, like, there's this whole thing about how Rory waited 2,000 fucking years to make sure that Amy was safe in the Pandorica, right? And then there's this whole thing, too, in, like, season 6 about how, you know, he's going out and trying to save Melody Pond and shit, and he's, like, you know, the Centauran, and he's like, I'm a badass now. And then they start off season 7 with, oh, we're getting a divorce. And I'm like, fuck you guys. Seriously, fuck you guys. You cannot present this kind of bullshit to me. Tell me, oh, look how deeply in love they are, and then, oh, well, they're in modern times, and I guess they've seen too much, so they got a divorce. I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. How many episodes do we have? 5? Okay, fine. Fuck you still, but fuck. It's like...
The thing is that I always felt like Rory knew he was getting the shaft. Every fucking time he stuck his neck out to save Amy, he was getting the shaft, and yet he stayed with her. I was like, dude, swear to God.
Homeboy, seriously. Like, and the weird thing, too, is, like, we've seen this kind of shit happen before with Rose and Mickey. The doctor shows up. This kind of shit happened.
That's the thing. With Rose and Mickey, Mickey knew, say, in, like, I think it was, what, season 2?
Mm-hmm.
Mickey knew that he wasn't getting Rose back.
Yeah.
He knew it.
It's just not happening.
It's just not happening.
It's not happening, bro.
But
he decides to stay in fucking Pete's world.
Right, and then
with his gran.
Right, but here's the thing. It's
with his gran.
But
British colloquialisms for the win. Anyways.
But like Rory, I always felt so bad for Rory because Rory always got the proverbial shit end of the stick.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. Like, it never worked out for him. It worked out for Rory. Rory got what was her name? Rory got Martha in the end.
No, Mickey got Martha in the end.
I'm sorry, not Rory. Mickey got Martha in the end.
Yes.
And they went off and became like alien bounty hunters and shit.
I believe they both worked for Torchwood. I could be wrong, because I know Martha worked for Torchwood for a little while. She was in Torchwood season 3, I think.
And that was the other thing I never got. Why is it that... Did anybody ever explain this at the end of...
What, Tenants Run?
No, not Tenants Run. What was the episode where they the unreality bomb?
Oh, the Journey's End.
Journey's End.
Season 4.
Did they ever explain why at the end of Journey's End they were able to bring Mickey back into the universe, but Rose and her mother had to go back?
Because Mickey didn't fucking go through that time vortex. So he didn't have that like weird energy coming off of him.
Wait, I thought he did go through that.
No, he didn't. He stayed in that world with fucking whoever else and came back to help her out. But, like, because Rose went through that worm tunnel,
uh-huh.
Like, you remember the doctor was wearing those 3D glasses? He was like, I can see all this, like, neutron energy or whatever the fuck. And, like, I guess, you know, whatever was... That was how they got the Daleks to go into that universe. Is like, they had some weird fucking... I don't know. It's Doctor Who. It's not Star Trek. You can't fucking, like, pin down the science to everything. No. But long story short, Mickey didn't go through the tunnel. Rose did. The fucking, you know, boundaries between, you know, universes and dimensions were closing, and Rose needed to go there or else there was going to be some huge fucking shit happen. I don't fucking know.
Okay. Fair enough.
Anyways.
Fair enough. So, it's just like...
I'm trying to explain Doctor Who. I'm like, fuck. I don't fucking...
So, but here's the thing. So, here's my point. Mickey got his ending. He got, which is
funny because they're actually married in real life. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
They're actually, him and fucking, what's her name, they're married in real life.
That's cool.
I was like, yay, that's cool.
But But Rory.
Rory is such a shitbox sometimes.
Rory just kind
of, seriously, man.
He just gets shit. He is basically Doctor Who's version of Peter Parker. He's gonna get shit on for like the rest of his existence. Why? Like he fucking
because he's the nice guy. And
he goes through all this bullshit, and he finally gets back with his wife, and they have a kid. And what happens? They get killed. Well, they get their Artron energy. Is Artron or?
What is it? No.
They basically get sent back to like the 1930s.
Oh, right? yeah, because of the fucking angels.
Yeah,
and then like, oh, angels. That was such a fucking stupid episode, by the way. Like, first and foremost.
Will the angels take my hand?
Yeah, first and foremost, like, Stephen Moffat and Amy, or you know, Karen Gillan, awesome in fucking Guardians of the Galaxy, by the way. But like, they're all these fucking people are talking about, oh, make sure you bring the Kleenex, because it's going to be a tearjerker. This episode, and I'm sitting there watching this. I'm like, yep, oh, I'm crying tears of boredom. What the fuck? Okay, first and foremost, how the fuck is the Statue of Liberty able to come to the fucking Annex House? It's one of the biggest cities in the world, New York City. I don't know if you know this or not. New York City is a huge city, and there's tons of people. You mean to tell me that nobody was looking at the fucking Statue of Liberty at that moment in time? Really? Bullshit. I call bullshit. Second of all, they're going to go through all this bullshit about like, okay, well, we're both going to die together so we can, you know, fix things. And then like at the very end, right before, like, because everything looks like it's going to be just, you know, all right, Doctor, let's go and do this shit. Woohoo! And boom, like Amy gets zapped back in time and, oh, we can't do this shit again because we've already stressed shit too much.
Wait, I thought it was Rory that got hit first.
Oh, that's right. It was Rory.
Rory got hit first.
I can't fucking Rory.
That's the thing. I swear to God, when I first saw that, I thought Amy is going to fucking leave his ass in the past. She's going to do it.
Yeah.
And she didn't. And I was like, okay, fine.
Redeeming quality.
You got
a little
one,
bit.
You got 1 point back, team.
Everybody gets one.
Everyone gets one.
So.
But it's, okay, so fine. They're back in the, it was just 3 seasons of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I cannot do this anymore.
I can't.
I was,
I can't.
I can't.
I can't.
I can't. That's why.
I can't, Aaron. I just can't.
That's why. I mean, that was the thing. I mean, I felt the same way. I felt the same way about, what was it? I felt the same way about Catherine Tate's character.
Yeah.
When she came.
Oh, that was such horseshit, by the way.
No. Not when she got taken out of the series. I'm saying I honestly wanted Kylie Minogue as his next companion.
Okay, fair enough. Yes, I wanted that. Didn't want that?
I was like, no, not Astrid.
Okay, Astrid. Fuck. She's such a cool character, and she's just really, she's so cute and fucking like she. You pine for her, and your heart aches for her because she's like, I just want to see the universe. That's all. I don't want to be rich. I don't want, you know, I don't want possessions. I just want to see the universe. And the Doctor's like, oh, you have no idea. I want to show you the universe.
Yeah.
How great would this be? I'm like, oh, please. And like, it doesn't happen. I'm like, fuck.
Well, but here's the other thing. It's the thing that always.
All she wanted to do was see the fucking universe. I'm like, no.
And that was the thing. The thing that bothered me the fucking most about that episode was she was sitting in that tractor thingy, right?
The fucking forklift?
The forklift, right. She's sitting in the forklift. And she's, like, pushing Max Capricorn, right?
He tried to heal me with a forklift. Huzzah!
Right, and so, she does, like, the slow pan over to the Doctor, like, oh
God.
But here's the thing.
That was, okay, that was bad.
But here's the thing. Both sides of the forklift were open.
Uh-huh. She could have fucking, yeah.
She could have fucking dove out.
She could have jammed it and just, whoop, okay, Doctor, let's get the fuck out of here.
I assume it's just because Kylie Minogue was only signed on for one episode.
Yeah, I mean, she's...
But I was like, God damn it. If you were gonna kill her, could you not have killed her in a better way?
Why couldn't the Doctor save Cammy from Street Fighter? Why?
Why? Cammy, I love you, you beautiful piece of code.
Oh my God. No, but like, and the funny thing too is when you watch, like, okay, you watch Voyage of the Damned. Awesome fucking episode, by the way. Mm. I watch it every Christmas now. It's I watch that and I watch Santa Claus Conquers the Martians from MST3K. That's a tradition for me now.
No, I'm sorry. It's just every time I get the sight of Space Titanic almost smashing into Buckingham Palace, I always...
Thank you, Dr. Merry Christmas! Or Happy Christmas!
Oh,
it's like,
God.
It's so good.
And Wilfred Mott. Wilfred Mott's first appearance.
Yeah, which by... No, he appeared earlier, I think. He's been appearing... Go back and watch it. He's been in a couple of different episodes.
No, because remember...
He was in a Martha episode. Yes, he was.
Not as that character.
Yes, he was.
Are
he
you
was.
Sure?
Yes, absolutely, he was that character. Because in between, hold on, in between season 2 and season 3, the Christmas special was Catherine Tate's character getting married. She went away for a while, Martha came back.
Right, but that was the thing, in the marriage episode, he wasn't in that.
Yeah, he was.
No, he wasn't.
I could have sworn he was.
No, he wasn't.
Okay, fine.
His character wasn't introduced until the Voyage of the Damned. And then you didn't know that she was his grandfather until her first appearance as the companion.
Okay, maybe I'm remembering it wrong then. But,
Funny thing, I'm normally pretty good about that shit because I have Asperger's.
tasty Asperger's.
Anyway.
2¼. Here's the funny thing about that, by the way. He was actually in the second Doctor Who movie with what's his name from Star Wars? He was in an OG Doctor Who thing.
Peter Cushing.
Yeah, Peter Cushing. He was actually in that. I forget what character he played, but it's like, oh, all these years later, I'm back to play Doctor.
You know what's interesting?
What?
There was a report that Fifth Doctor, Peter Davison.
Yeah.
He actually had commented on the fact, like, apparently there had been some speculation that Doctor Who was going to be played by a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe in, like, one of the upcoming iterations.
Yeah.
And Peter Davison was like, I don't really think that would work.
I don't know, bro.
I mean, here's my thing. Could a woman play the Doctor? Of course a woman could play the Doctor.
It's kind of happened before.
It can happen. Probably should happen, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, yes, I have no problem with it, but...
Well, here's my thing. He actually, it's not just a... his argument was not...
It's not about what's, you know, hanging between, you know, your... It's not about what dangly bits you have. It's about the character.
His reasoning was that the Doctor as a character, when tested, is rather unsure of himself and leans on his companions heavily.
Mm.
So to put a female in that position,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, as if, for instance, say her companion is a male, to have a female rely heavily on her male companion, he said that would be overly cliche, and that would be completely affront to the Doctor.
May I throw a wrench in this?
By all means.
What if it was a female companion? Two women.
Also could work.
Two women in the TARDIS.
No,
oh my.
Just no.
No, but here's the thing. Like,
I could
seriously
see
though.
That. No, I could see that.
Like, besties, you know? Like, fuck yeah.
I could totally see that.
By the way, not Doctor Who related, but they did confirm that they're going to do the all-female Ghostbusters now.
I did hear about
that. It's going to be Kristen Wiig, fucking a couple of other people. The woman from Mike and Molly is going to be in it, I think.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't have all the names on me right now, but, like, I guess Dan Aykroyd's blessing it. I'm like, okay.
I mean, it's not... To the best of my knowledge, I mean, it's not really his call.
No, it's not.
I mean, honestly, popular opinion will... I mean, you know what? It could be great. We don't know. And honestly, sporting any kind of opinion about it beforehand, is this going to be completely...
We don't have any kind of detail on it at the
moment.
Exactly. We've talked about this before on BGN, and the thing is, and I've actually talked about it with Ben Taylor from, what's up, Ben, from Tau Radio.
Yeah.
We talked at Intervention about this, like, we opened up with this, and so you can check that out, too, but I still don't, like, I'm still iffy on it. I mean, I'll go see it. Ghostbusters was a huge thing in my life when I was a kid, so... I don't know. If it's still going to bear the same kind of iconography and it's still going to feel like Ghostbusters, then that's one thing. But if it's not going to be like, you know, oh, there's the Ecto-1, there's the firehouse, there's all this shit, then is it really Ghostbusters?
Well, look at it this way.
Like,
Look at it this way. And this is probably the easiest way to look at it, okay? Okay. They could make the film.
Mm-hmm.
And the film could be a smashing success. People could probably love it. And it could be a new revisioning of what Ghostbusters was to us in the 1980s.
Yeah.
Right?
Fair enough.
Right. It could be that. But that's the thing. If it isn't, you know what's going to happen? In 5 years, somebody's going to fucking reboot it. Okay?
God damn it.
Hey, this is the problem, is that they have run out of fucking... they have chosen to run out of ideas.
They have chosen to. They haven't fucking, like...
No, bullshit, because I could think of 100 different ideas for 100 different films that have no bearing on any previous franchise, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, but that's the problem. I don't work in Hollywood.
It'd be nice. I mean, here's the problem. Here's the problem with a lot of movies like that nowadays. You're not only worrying about, you know, a fucking awesome movie with awesome effects and whatnot, you're also worrying about selling merchandise and toys. Toys are a big source of revenue for movies like this nowadays. Oh, yeah. I mean, just look at fucking Spider-Man back, like, last year. Look at the Avengers. Look at any superhero movie or any kind of blockbuster that opens up in the summer. There's going to be a toy franchise. There's going to be some kind of thing that's like, okay, we need to make more money. Because they're making all kinds of buku buck off that.
And actually, as a point to bring it back to Doctor Who,
mm-hmm.
Doctor Who toys.
Doctor Who toys.
So many Doctor Who toys.
Oh man, I've still got my 10th Doctor TARDIS downstairs.
Funnily enough.
Love that thing, man.
We were at MAGFest last week, Music and Gaming Festival in National Harbor.
Yep.
It's a great event. You should go out if you can. But there was a booth there that was selling just strictly Doctor Who stuff. Because there's a very large crossover between video game culture and Doctor Who culture,
mm-hmm.
interestingly enough. And when I was there, there was a fucking inflatable Dalek. It was great.
Exterminate. No, not the push.
Anyway, I was laughing my ass off about that. I thought it was great. But
I bought a fourth Doctor's hat. For
yeah, that's good. So I mean,
I saw a couple of screwdrivers there I wanted, yeah. But like I just didn't want to waste money.
No,
like
I saw
River Songs. I saw the War Doctors. I saw the 12th. Like okay, I saw the 12th Doctor has his own thing. And what they did was they actually fixed that bullshit with like when the 11th Doctor's shit would extend, mm-hmm. how you press the button and it wouldn't work. They fixed that shit. So.
So, yeah, I don't... So, here's my thing.
Mm.
Going back to... Because we're just starting... The new season's just going to start pretty soon, isn't it?
No, they just... No, well...
Or did they just end the last season?
They just ended the last season. I think the new season's going to start sometime in August.
Well, I mean...
Which, man, there's such a fucking drought for Doctor Who, and it's only, like, 13 episodes. I'm like, fuck, man. It'd be nice to have, like...
But here's the thing. And even, I mean, Sherlock, again, Moffat works on Sherlock,
mm-hmm.
and there's just as much of a drought for that. People are going apeshit for fucking Sherlock as well.
Yes.
I mean, that's what happens when
they're Sherlocked.
That's what happens when you have a large fan base for two shows, and your head writer works on both of them. But, here's my thing. So, Clara...
Before we get into this.
Okay.
Do you think that Mark Gatiss should just become the new fucking showrunner for Doctor Who?
It's a tough call. Because, you know, I love Moffat.
Hold on.
I'm sorry, it's a tough call. Because I love Stephen Moffat.
Yeah.
He's done some of the best Who in, like, the last 20 years. But... problem is that you don't want it to get stale. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, you don't.
And that's the thing. So, when I say Mark Gatiss should take over, I would say yes, but I say it with hesitation.
I mean, fair enough.
You don't want to deviate too far from the formula.
No, you don't.
But, here's my other thing. So, are all doctors just going to be older now?
I don't think so. I don't know. I think that they're going to try and make it a little more like... Because there's this whole thing about how because of the guilt of the Time War, the Doctor was, you know, using vanity to try and mask his scars and some shit. And, you know, go on Tumblr and try and find some of that shit. You'll find droves of it. But, like, the Doctor does all this shit. Oh my God, I didn't know that! Whoa. But, yeah, now...
I mean, the fan theory I remember hearing was that the reason why is because he felt such guilt And so he just, his regenerations has gotten younger and younger and younger. And finally, because Matt Smith's character
realized that he actually saved Gallifrey instead of burned it.
Exactly. He finally was able to forgive himself, and that's why the newest regeneration
is so old and haggard.
Yeah, I guess.
I just called Peter Capaldi old and haggard. Holy shit.
Well, I mean, come on. He does look old and haggard. I mean, but a lot of that's makeup. Come on.
Actually, no. A lot of that's because he used to do acid with Craig Ferguson when he was in a band with him.
Really?
Really.
Nice.
Dude, Craig Ferguson, he's doing like Late Late Show, and he's talking about how I did... Well, no. Back,
oh, but this was on... Okay.
Yeah. This was on an episode back before he retired, which sucks, by the way. But he was talking about how, oh my God, I've done acid with Doctor Who. It's fucking great. I'm like, that's kind of cool, actually.
Oh, Craig, you crazy motherfucker.
Balls.
Hello, I'm Jeff the Robot.
I've got a place in Saskatoon. You should come over. We'll throw beads at people and shit.
No, but...
I love that show.
So a lot of people are probably wondering, why the fuck are we talking so heavily about Doctor Who? Well, I'll tell you why we're talking about Doctor Who. Because 2 months from today, we will be at Regeneration Who. That is the East Coast, nay, America's premier Doctor Who convention. This is year one, people. Get in on the ground floor on this shit.
It's the William Hartnell year, motherfuckers.
Yeah, there you go. So
Bill Hartnell.
So, I mean, you got a lot of good guests coming. I mean, you got Colin Baker.
Yes.
Sixth Doctor. You got Sylvester McCoy.
Seventh Doctor and Radagast the Brown.
Yep. And then, not only that, an extra added treat. Since Tom Baker doesn't really travel outside of the United Kingdom just for health issues.
He's not quite as mobile as he used to be, I've heard. Which is, yes. You know, you get up.
It's understandable. It's understandable, yeah. But he's going to be at Regeneration Who via Skype, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing a Q&A session, and that is free to go into. You just got to buy the 3-day pass.
Exactly. Also, I believe it's still going on until mid-February. If you're a huge Tom Baker fan, you can pay $70 and get his autograph on limited edition lithograph.
One of three limited edition autographs.
Yes.
I mean, lithographs.
Lithograph.
King speech.
It's right here.
Yeah. But, I mean, not only that, but then you've got secondary characters from Doctor Who. You got Perry from the 6th and 7th Doctor's runs.
Yes.
You got Ace from the 7th Doctor's
runs. I'm excited to meet Ace.
So am I.
I mean, she really is the template for, like, what companions might... agree or disagree about companions and, like, how they act or how they influence the show. She really was the template for, like, Rose, to be honest with you.
Rose.
Martha. Not so much Catherine Tate's character, but not so much that.
At least the headstrong attitude.
Yes.
That, I could say, you can mold off of.
Fair enough.
But then you got... And then Terry Molloy, Davros. Fuck. Yes.
Greetings, Doctor.
Anyway, so, I mean, super excited about this event. We're going to go cover it. And
we're going to cover it in so much just fucking awesome video.
Oh, it's going to be great. No, but seriously, it's a great event. Tickets are still on sale. So if you haven't heard about this...
He knows it's a great event because he got in TARDIS and went forward in time and went there already, motherfuckers. What are you doing?
Shit, what is with you?
Motherfucker!
Get with the times. Wiggly wobbly.
Timey-wimey.
Anyway. So, I would say, I mean, if you haven't already bought a pass, buy one. Because then you'll hear great discussion like the one we just had.
Yes.
And it'll be all weekend. By the end of it, you'll be a fucking Doctor Who master.
Yes. No, not the master. No, not the master.
Not the master. A master. Of Doctor Who knowledge.
Exactly.
There you go.
By the way, if this turns you into the master, does that mean that you can change your sex willingly now? Like that?
You know, I never... You know, they don't discuss that. Because here's the thing I never got, right?
Lay it on me.
Well, alright, so Time Lords... I mean, at least in previous iterations, I wasn't aware that a Time Lord could change their sex.
Yes. This was actually brought up in an 11th Doctor episode. I believe it's the one where the TARDIS in like the soul of the TARDIS gets put in that woman.
The Doctor's wife.
The Doctor's wife. shit, sorry. Anyways, so the Doctor's talking about, like, all these Time Lords that this planet's, like, you know, kind of eaten, because it's kind of in the cusp of what. And, like, so the Doctor finds this one cube of this guy, this one guy, the Corsair, and he's like, you know, oh, so he was
a cool guy. I've got mail.
So he was a cool guy? Yeah, until he was a woman, and he was a bad, bad girl. And I'm like, this is kind of weird, but right on.
Okay, so
it's been established since, you know, they rebooted it, but it's never really been shown until this season.
But here's an interesting point, because I read some of the expanded universe. I assume there's another name for them, but I read some
Big Finish stuff.
I don't know if it was Big Finish.
Well, okay, maybe it's not Big Finish. It's the novellas or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's an interesting
extended universe of Star Wars.
Here's the interesting point in the show. You would honestly say that Doctor Who, I mean, at least the Time Lord society,
mm-hmm.
was strictly male-oriented.
Okay.
I mean, not, like, strictly made up of males, but you would say that it's male-dominated.
Fair enough. Yes. I mean, obviously, later on, like, in a time, you see a lot more of a female presence.
Right, but I'm saying...
Amongst the High Council and shit.
Yeah, but I mean, like, for instance, Rassilon is still... head of the council. I mean, I know at one point Romana was Time Lord president, so she effectively took over Rassilon's role.
Radagast.
But, I mean, am I incorrect? It seems like Time Lord society is male-driven.
Fair enough.
Interestingly enough, before the Time Lords were effectively created,
mm-hmm.
Gallifreyan society was actually run by the Cult of Pythia, which was female-driven.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And when they were deposed of power, they actually... And this is something that's never been officially adjusted into the canon of Doctor Who.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I don't know, because we did get that 8th Doctor special.
Possibly. Okay, so what happened was the... No, that was a different cult. You're thinking something else.
Okay, fair enough.
The Sisters... You're thinking the Sisters of Khan.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Karn. Sorry. Sisters of Karn.
The Karn, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Cult of Pythia was female-oriented when they were deposed from power by...
Rassilon.
Rassilon and Omega and the other.
Mm-hmm.
They placed a curse on Gallifreyan society that you could not naturally conceive.
Fuck!
Right?
Okay.
So they had to create all future Gallifreyans from genetic looms.
Huh. Oh, that's a bummer.
Right? But that's the thing. Is like the three main leaders of Time Lord society, which are Rassilon and Omega and the other.
Mm-hmm.
They created the genetic looms to help, you know, perpetuate the Gallifreyan race, and so that's actually how the Doctor ended up being created.
In a weird sort of way, this kind of sounds like Krypton from Man of Steel.
Similar. Well, interestingly enough, because Susan. Was the Susan, the Doctor's niece.
Granddaughter.
Well, here's the thing, right? Susan is technically the granddaughter of the other.
Hmm. Okay.
The problem is that when Rassilon sent Omega into the black hole to create time travel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Omega was considered lost. The other realized that he was really the only other person who stood between Rassilon and ultimate authority.
Mm.
And so when Rassilon eventually sent his goons after him, the other basically went in and, like, threw himself into the genetic looms.
Uh-huh.
And then his genetic material was ingratiated into those looms. And then eventually, I think it was like a generation or two later,
mm-hmm.
the Doctor was born.
Neat.
So technically, the Doctor is a reincarnation of one of the originators of Time Lord society.
I've heard this before.
But
it's fucking, it's really fucking interesting.
And if this is, and this is something that's never brought up, that story is never brought up, but the Doctor has committed so many infractions against Time Lord society.
This is true.
That really he should have been, like, either totally imprisoned or killed.
Yeah.
Right? But he never is.
Because Rassilon sees something in him.
I mean, that's the thing. We don't know. Is it Rassilon?
That's part of the mystery. That's why it's called Doctor Who.
Right, exactly.
Because you don't fucking know.
That's what I love about it.
It's really, yeah.
But here's what I always found interesting. Well, here's the interesting bit. So when when the first Doctor runs away. Now, this is a little bit offset by the canon later on.
Which, by the way, before we get into this, I could have sworn, like, I saw there was something about, like, during the trial of the Doctor, how he had, like, an entirely different set of regenerations before William Hartnell. If you remember that correctly, like, he had, like, they had all these different faces of, like, here's a previous regeneration set of him or some. It was weird. It was really weird, and I don't think that they actually brought that into canon. But, like, they were mentioning all this shit, and anyways.
Well, this is the other thing, is, like, the Valyar was
supposed to be the 12th Doctor.
Right, but it's not.
And
yet.
And we're on the 12th Doctor. Are we going to see any of this shit?
I mean, that's the question. I mean, that's really the question of whether or not they're going to go that route. But,
yeah.
But here's the other thing that's interesting. So Susan was the last genetically birthed Time Lord. I'm sorry, not Time Lord. The last genetically born, like the last naturally born
Gallifreyan.
And here's the thing. So she was alive generations before the Doctor was born. But when the Doctor stole the TARDIS, the Time Locks took him back to that time.
Uh-huh.
And they crossed each other in a market, and Susan saw something in this guy, even though the Doctor at that point was so much older than he was as the other. But she still recognized him and, you know, called him by his name, Grandfather, and he realized that there was something there.
Huh. Interesting.
But see, but that's the thing. They never bring that up because that sort of countermands. Like that one scene they showed you in Day of the Doctor where, you know, they're stealing the TARDIS for the first time.
Yeah.
But again, that's something that can be rewritten.
I mean, yeah. I mean, dude, well, that's the thing. It's like, who's to say that they didn't cross paths? Because remember, there's that market in, you know, the Rings of Akatan, and the 11th Doctor's going like, oh yeah, I used to bring Susan here all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. So who's to say that they didn't cross paths at that market?
Well, I mean,
and
then
decide,
they
hey, let's go... Let's go steal the fucking TARDIS, man. Type 40 TARDIS. Let's go do this shit.
Yeah.
You know?
You learn something new every day.
Huzzah.
If you're interested about reading the story about the other, look up Lungbarrow.
Lungbarrow?
Lungbarrow. Lungbarrow.
Hey, Lungbarrow.
Yeah, that's the story where this is all sort of fleshed out. I don't think this has ever, like I said, I don't think this has ever been put into a TV series as of yet, just because it effectively would end some of the mystery behind Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's...
But again, eventually, Doctor Who's going to have to end.
Yes.
Not anytime soon, hopefully, but I feel that explaining this scenario would definitely...
Be a nice way to cap off the seat.
Oh, God. I mean, think about it. It's you find out the Doctor's origins and you find out he's been running all this time, running from Time Lord Society because he inevitably created it.
Yeah. Fuck.
Like, everything he found wrong about society was all his doing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Albeit it was as a completely separate person, but it was still his doing.
Mm.
Right? And if ever there was a way to, like, if you ever wanted to pull, like, that ultimate maneuver on the Doctor, it would be to remind him that everything that was wrong with his life, Time Lord Society, you know, him getting sent to Earth, blah, 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 all this could have been avoided if he hadn't run in the first place.
Hmm. And I think that that's going to be a nice place to cap this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's...
Yeah. So, Regeneration Who, March 27th through March 29th, 2015, in Hunt Valley, Maryland. If you can, if you're in the DC, you're in the DC, Pennsylvania, Virginia area. Something DC, Pennsylvania, Maryland,
Virginia
area. Or hey, if you want to,
and
fly
I guess West Virginia too, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you want to fly in, we would encourage this. But you know, show up for this event. It's gonna be an awesome time.
I mean, first and foremost, shout out to Oni. She knows how to run a goddamn convention. And,
Oni and Harknell.
Yes. And,
we love you guys.
Thank you so much for the past couple of years with, intervention. It's been awesome. And, I hope you get to listen to this. And yeah, it's, they know how to really run something, you know, awesome. And I'm really looking forward to this one.
Yep.
Like, this one is going to be really awesome.
This is probably one of the bigger events we're going to be at this year. It's not the only event we're going to be at, but probably... When it comes to things from our childhood, things that we remember more than anything, this is probably going to be one of the bigger ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So this was kind of an impromptu thing, and I think we might be able to do this once again. Like, yeah. Every once in a while.
We'll call it an extra BGN episode.
No. Let's call this series Impromptu Who.
Impromptu Who.
Yeah. Impromptu Who.
Hmm. Okay.
By two nerds who just love British television too much.
Hey, all right.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, and you've been a beautiful crowd, and try the good filter fish. Later.